Welcome to the Jimmy and Nate podcast. We hope this wasn't a mistake. If it was, please stay. And remember, you can listen to the podcast whilst you're
watching the State of Origin.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No. Commentary's good.
I was going to say, do you need the sound? It's not really a thing you need the sound for.
Well, it absolutely does.
Okay, so this is very common. It doesn't happen anymore because I don't think they do it anymore. But I remember growing up, so it was on the TV, Grace. Mm. So everyone was on TV. But, you know, Roy and HG, you're aware
heard
of them?
Yeah.
You heard of them? They would do their own commentary on the radio. And when I grew up, people would have the TV on mute and have their radios on. Because and they would also do like comedy stuff as well.
Like when you're watching the fireworks on New Year's Eve and you turn the radio on.
Literally like that. It's like a simulcast, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
and they came up with nicknames for players, like the Brick
That's
with
fun.
Legs.
Yeah. What?
The Brick with Legs.
Brick with Legs.
Mm. Yeah.
Was that Tommy Radonicus?
I thought that was Glenn Lazarus.
Might have been Glenn Lazarus. They also had a name for Tommy Radonicus. I don't know what that was.
Petro Sivinaseva was petrol 7 cents a litre.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, clever.
See, that's comedy, guys. That's comedy.
I'd love the three of us to, at some point in our careers, to be able to do a live rugby league call.
Oh, me as well.
Well, I just figure that you would get in, people would get involved who don't usually watch rugby league because you'd be there giving your take, and then people who usually watch it would laugh at your sort of...
Yeah.
Well, I kind of watched a little bit of the Origin for the first time in my life ever tonight. Mm. Not closely, it was just on while you guys were watching it.
Mm.
Quite violent.
To be fair, it was a very violent start of the game. I think almost three people went off, but a fourth person could have gone off in 18 minutes.
And two guys were punching each other.
Yeah. That's not good. No. It's just a game, guys. Put your differences
it's not
aside.
Just a game,
no,
mate.
But the thing
it's
is, you're game. All there for a common Maybe, cause. Mate, you're all there for the love of this.
State v. State. Sorry, what?
I'm saying just put your differences aside and just put on a great show for the people.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, broadcast is a big part of it.
Well, sport is just a...
It's a money-making machine.
It's a performance, isn't it?
It is.
An art. It is.
It is a performance, absolutely.
It's entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Is it entertaining? I don't know. That's up for you to decide.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing about your Eurovision. Is that entertainment?
By definition, yes.
What?
Arts, music, entertainment.
Well, yeah, then sport
is
also
entertainment.
You got me there.
All right, we get to commentate Eurovision.
I guess.
Right,
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Really?
I'd love to watch something and just have no idea what's going on and just commentate it. What's going on
Yeah,
here?
So we'll do one for each.
Yeah.
You guys commentate Eurovision with me and I'll commentate State of Origin or some big sports game with you.
Yeah, that's fun. There's all different countries. Eurovision would be fun.
Again, you guys know I love doing sales meetings and off-air meetings here because I don't go to meetings.
No.
Hey, guys, Jimmy. Why don't we get that sold?
Yeah, that's a good idea. You can get sports brands or food or drink.
100%.
Jimmy and Nathan Grace commentate the AFL final, brought to you by...
The AFL.
No, I don't
think... They'd pay for it, yeah?
No,
get rid of all their professional commentators.
Like, who's this woman who clearly hates this?
So, you missed Jimmy and Nate last night? That's okay, because you could hear it all here.
All right, let's get serious, guys. Bit of silly business at the start with the Abby Chatfield team and us yelling and carrying on.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of voices. The Jimmy and Nate show, it's ebbs and flows.
It is.
Isn't it? We can go up and we can go down.
Well, watch us. We can get serious. We can do news. Nate, what do you know about long COVID?
Oh, not much, mate. I'm hoping you'd be able to tell me.
Right, I don't either. So, unfortunately, we can't do news. Let's go to a song. And
great.
Chat about parents at Splendor. No, I've done some research, mate. You're probably going to ask me the question. Well, Jim, what is long COVID?
Well, what is long COVID, Jim?
That's a great question.
Oh, thank you, mate. I rehearsed it.
We practiced earlier today. Mm. The World Health Organization.
Who?
Yes. The National Institute of Health Research.
Okay. National Institute of Health Research. Never.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And National Institute of Health.
Only.
Yes. They all have definition of long COVID. They're all a little bit different, quite vague, but let's go with WHO.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
Got you.
Because they are probably everyone knows them during this sort of COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They define post-COVID or long COVID as occurring in people still experiencing symptoms 3 months. 3 months after their initial COVID-19 infection,
right?
When those symptoms can't be explained by anything else.
Okay, so they've just held on to a lot of the symptoms, even though they may be clear on tests and everything, they're still, you know, they're getting over it, maybe like the sore throat or
still, all different, you know, types of it. They're not testing positive for COVID anymore, but they're also not having the flu, so that it's like it's, they think it's long COVID, but they haven't had enough of research. But I mean, Nath, you're probably going to ask me now, research? Well, what is Australian research found?
You're not going to believe it. I was just about to say research. Well, what is Australian research found? Words out of my mouth.
Oh, it must have been when I was kissing you. Hmm. Professor Gail Matthews from the Kirby Institute has been examining patients for long COVID and doing that since mid-2020.
Okay.
So we're leading the way here in Australia looking at it. Gail's team found some participants had symptoms 8 months here in Australia after a COVID-19 infection, which probably leads to your last question, Nath.
Of course. And, do you need to say it? Yeah, probably say it just to reinforce what I was going to say. Yeah, well, obviously the last question would be probably what you're about to think, and that is how long can COVID last?
How is long COVID being treated?
Jim, yes, obviously is my final question.
Well, Nath, it's difficult to treat.
No, I bet it is.
Because long COVID is still being studied. Mm. There are many different causes, and for different people, some theories include immune system. So some people just having weaker immune systems.
Sure.
Ongoing inflammation and other abnormalities of the lungs. So people who have lung conditions are more likely to be susceptible to it. Queensland Health is investigating the possibility of establishing long COVID clinics. And South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales and the ACT, mate, they already have long COVID clinics.
How long? I've been waiting this whole thing just to do that.
And you knew I was out of stuff.
100%. So I know that you got through it. Yeah. But seriously, how long are they? Couple hundred metres?
No, I mean, I haven't seen them.
That's Jimmy and Nate.
The Jimmy and Nate Show podcast.
Splendour in the Grass, of course, held in Byron Bay each and every year. They've got some new rules. New rules for under 18s who want to go to Splendour in the Grass. Now, if you haven't already heard these, the rule is that anyone under the age of 18 must now be accompanied by a responsible adult guardian. This is at both the concert and in the campgrounds. So you can't even leave the concert to go to the campgrounds and get away from your guardian. No, got to be with you the whole time.
I've been to Splendour a couple of times.
Have you?
I once went as Dan and Maz, who used to be on this network, as their like social guy.
Taking photos.
I did not do much.
They called you in last minute, didn't they?
Yeah, a friend of mine, Leon, who shout out to Leon Shergren, one of the absolute legends of radio. He EPs the Melbourne Breakfast Show, Fox, Fifi, Fev and Nick. They just last minute, he's like, mate, can you come along and do some stuff? And I went, yeah, man. I didn't do much.
I do this all the time.
But I don't remember if there was under 18s when I went.
Oh,
is that,
okay.
Have they always been able to go?
Yeah, they have always been able to go.
I did not know that.
But now, this is in New South Wales.
Do they have a...
So, Splendour was held everywhere else.
I was mixing it up with Falls Festival.
Ah, see, Falls in numerous locations. So, the rules were implemented by New South Wales Police, who said that they will be present at the event to make sure people under 18 have an adult with them. So, they'll be policing this, handing out fines...
They must have some sort of different coloured wristband or something.
I think they usually do it at festivals.
Mm. Oh, you big fezzy goer.
No, I'm
just bring back
saying,
Stereosonic, says Grace.
Usually they do.
No, I mean, you're
you'd be
right,
the person to dob people in without their under 18 wristband.
I would not. But yes, I did go. I haven't really been to many festivals since I've been. When I was like 17, I used to go because all my friends were going. So I'm like, oh, I go.
So you had a different colour wristband?
Yeah, but I never enjoyed myself. And I went, you know, maybe I should stop going to festivals just because my friends are.
Yeah.
Way to bring it down. Now, Splendour has said, Splendour has said this is not a Splendour in the Grass decision. It's a New South Wales Police decision.
Kids always used to be able to go to that.
Yeah, so they could always go. They could always go. I think it might be 16 and over, I think.
It's a ball pit for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they play the sand out the
Macca's
back. There's a high ropes course out there that they can be a part of. But here's the question I want to ask the country. 13, 10, 60, what did you bring your parent to? What did you bring your parent to? Of course, a lot of under 18s now, they're going to have to bring a parent or a responsible guardian to Splendour if they do want to go. Producer Grace, what did you bring your parent to?
I often go to Mardi Gras with my dad.
Mm.
It's just something we kind of do as a family, which is nice. We've both been going independently for a long time and we just went, you know what, let's go together.
When did you decide to link up on the Mardi Gras party?
Actually, not long. I mean, I was maybe 19. We usually do something and then go our separate ways because it's a bit weird to bring your dad to everywhere at Mardi Gras.
He parties harder than you, though.
He does party, yeah.
Does that get a bit, yeah, I mean, shout out to Jace. Yeah. He's a bit of a party animal. Does it ever get weird?
Sometimes he's a bit drunk and I have to kind of cut him off. I'm like, Dad, maybe just some water.
So he came and met you once at Mardi Gras. It was like a venue or something, wasn't it? And you were like, Dad's hat. You texted us and you went, Dad's here and he's hammered.
Dad's had a skinful.
Yeah.
I saw him rock up at the door and he was looking through the crowd at me and then he sees me and he just like, Grace! He was so excited.
I want to go to Mardi Gras with Jace.
One of my favorite Jace's stories is he was on a boat and he needed to get to a flight, so he just jumped off the boat, swam to the shore,
and he got an Uber.
He is so cool. He probably doesn't want to hang out with you.
Yeah. I'm bringing his vibe. You're bringing his...
It's like, Grace, I'm going out tonight. You look after the dog.
He broke up with his ex. He was like, Max just couldn't keep up with me. Couldn't party.
He's a party man. All right, 131060, Australia, jump on the phones right now. What did you bring your parent to? Maybe it was a party, a festival, whatever it was, some sort of event. Jump on the phones, 131060. We've got iconic vouchers giveaways, or $100 iconic vouchers. You want one of those, Australia? 131060. What did you bring your parent to?
The Jimmy and Nate Show podcast.
All right, 131060. Where did you bring your parent to? This is after a new rule for the big Fezzy that everyone loves, Splendor in the Grass in Byron Bay. Under 18s have to go with a guardian or a parent now, according to New South Wales Police. We want to know, where'd you take your parent? What'd your parent come to with you? Let's go to Kat from Victoria. Hello, Kat. We got you there.
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Kat, what'd you take your parent to?
I was fresh 18 and I took my dad to Revs.
Oh, as in the club?
Yeah, yeah.
So why did you take him and how did it go?
Oh, well, it was one of the DJs he would like to see, but he didn't want to go by himself.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, first time clubbing. Yeah, okay, let's go together.
Yep.
And yeah.
Was it a big night?
Big night?
Yeah, I had a real big night. my dad's like white,
yeah.
I'm a halfie. I look more Asian than white.
Okay, so right.
Everyone would come up to me and be like, "Hey, is that your boyfriend?"
Oh no!
He's like buying you drinks, and people are like,
"Well, man, he's having a crack at you." Yeah. Sue from Parramatta. Hi, Sue.
Hi,
Sue. What did you take your parent to?
So I was going on a date. It was my best friend. She was going on a date with a guy.
Yep.
And I was going to third wheel.
Yep.
And I took my mum with me.
Oh, that's cute. Weird. So you took your mum on your friend's date.
Yep, that's correct. And he was mortified.
Did he know this was happening?
No, he didn't. So he turned up and there was three girls at the table, including mum.
I mean, at first, he's probably gone,
oh, I've got picking the litter here, mate.
I've done it.
And what happened? I mean, was there a second date or a date with your mum afterwards? I don't know. Nothing?
No, I went on one more date and that was it. He realised that, no, it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, because her best friend brought her mum along. Thank you, Sue. Ness from the Sunny Coast. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
We're good, mate. You going all right? Having a good night?
I'm going good, Jimmy and Nath. How are you guys going?
Oh, we're better when we talk to you, Ness. You know,
and the name check as well. Love that.
I know.
We love you, Vanessa.
Look, I ended up taking my mummy, I call her, Mama, to the 25th anniversary of the Mardi Gras, which was 10 years ago, 2012, and Kylie Minogue.
Oh, wow.
The special appearance. Oh, she was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So you and your mum went, Ness. Was it a big night?
It was a big night. It wasn't just me and mum. There was actually quite a few of us ladies.
Okay.
And we ended up getting a motel down at Darling Harbour for the night.
Oh.
So we made it quite a big night.
Wow.
And we had lots of fun. We were very hungover for many days.
Who was more hungover, Ness, you or mum?
Mum.
Oh, so she couldn't really tell you off, could she?
No, exactly, because she's a big drinker.
Thank you, Ness. Maddie from Hobart to wrap things up. Maddie, what did you bring your parent to?
Well, it wasn't my choice, really. Mum just invited herself to make sure, but it was for a vasectomy.
Okay. Maddie, talk us through it. Why did she invite herself? What happened?
Well, in her words, it was, you've had too many, so I just want to come to make sure you do it.
Too many kids, you mean?
Yeah, I think so. I guess so. I've had too many grandchildren. You've had enough.
She thought you'd go chicken out or something and leave?
Oh, or not get it done, I reckon, I suppose. But, yeah, no, she was there for the whole thing with the partner.
Oh, the partner too?
Yeah, she was there.
How does it work, Matt? I mean, I haven't had a vasectomy. Do they get to come in and watch? Like, are you under, is it local anesthetic or are you knocked
General
out?
General or what?
No, mine was local with Dr. Snip.
Okay.
Dr. Snip. So you got the, does great work. Snip.
We've heard good things.
Yeah, we've heard.
So you get the jab and there you're getting the snip and mum and dad.
There. Was
and...
she just chatting away or what?
No, dad. Just mum and the partner.
Okay. And so yeah. was mum chatting you the whole time going, look, this will teach you or something like that?
No, she just stood back and just watched with her arms crossed looking down at me. And I was just thinking, Jesus.
Did she keep a memento or anything?
No, she didn't say anything, actually. She just stared.
Just stared.
It was weird.
Just stared.
Obviously, yeah.
Took a photo, uploaded it to Facebook.
She goes, oh, the family will love this.
The Jimmy and Nate Show Podcast.
Please welcome producer Grace for some goss. Gossip Grace.
Huge congrats to Reggie Bird, who won Big Brother last night.
Love that.
She has made Australian TV history after becoming the first person to win Big Brother twice.
Good on her.
Very exciting. Now, I don't want us to completely take credit for it.
No, that's what we do best.
100%, mate. I'm taking credit for everything.
For those who don't know, we used to do the Hobart Breakfast Show, and Reggie is obviously lived in Tasmania for a very long time. And
considers
obviously,
herself Tasmanian.
Yeah, as Tasmanians, we like to... claim people as Tasmanian for anything they've done in Tasmania.
Ariane Timmis lives in Queensland now, but she is Tasmanian.
Yeah. Yep.
Proudly
absolutely.
Claimed by the Tasmanians.
We had her on the show a couple of times and this happened.
Would you do Big Brother again or any reality show? Would
all
you do
stars.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. I was hoping like when Big Brother come back, they do an All Stars.
We've got to get a petition. We need to get something to happen.
A petition to get you on the show, yeah. Reggie, because I can tell you now, Tassie would be behind you. What do you reckon?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome to go back on.
Well, Reggie,
we're
going to
make it happen. Absolutely. We'll do everything we can, Reggie.
Huh? We did it. Did we nail it? Huh? Now, we may have done that chat this morning, but it doesn't matter. We still...
No, we did that...
We faked it.
Grace does a great Reggie.
Do your best Reggie, Grace.
No, we did that April 2021.
That sounds nothing like Reggie.
I know, because I'm being producer Grace.
April 2021.
Wow. Yeah. Hey.
Here we got in.
We're like the Simpsons.
Happen.
You know, they always predict things. Yeah. We're like that.
We are.
Just predicting stuff.
She deserves it. She's
an absolute angel. I know, she's so lovely. She's
a great person.
I believe one of her kids suffers from cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's got this eye condition.
Yeah,
where
degenerative
she's,
eye condition. She's legally blind.
Yeah. Been through a lot and just awesome. Just I'll be honest, I haven't watched a second of this season.
But what I love as well is Australia clearly still loves her so much that they've given her a second crown.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, she absolutely deserves it. Another massive round of applause, Reggie Bird. You're welcome, Reggie. You're welcome, mate. No, congratulations. Awesome stuff from Reggie.
Mate, you're welcome.
But also, one of them without us.
The Jimmy and Nate Show Podcast.
Nate, I want to ask now, 131060, how much do you spend on food delivery each week?
Yeah.
Now, a study's come out and found that Australians are spending an average of $40 per week on delivered food through apps such as Uber Eats, Deliveroo, DoorDash, and did someone say?
Menu log! It's those ads getting over the line, isn't it?
Yeah, so apparently $41.50 a week, despite a rising cost in inflation, according to Canstar Blue's latest survey, this year's cost is a few dollars below the average of last year, which was $44.
It's actually not that much, because I probably get it once a week, like as little, maybe like a Friday night treat.
Treat yourself,
And
you can spend $40 by yourself in one go.
But that's what I mean. If I'm doing $40, that's just for me. Normally I'm ordering for me and my partner. You know, yeah. So that's, we're closing in on 80.
80, 90.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, how much, we'll go through the team, we'll go through, while we're here with you, Nate, how much do you think you spend a week?
You're probably looking at 70 to 80, I reckon, because if I'm ordering.
You can do that in one hit.
100%, mate. And if we're going to go well above the 100 if I'm, you know, indulging a bit and doing a little Sunday night sesh too.
When I was locked down in COVID.
I got
Ben and Jerry's delivered. Like I was doing.
I did. There was this one-off COVID pack. It was like, I think I told you about it when I was in lockdown, when I had COVID, and it was like a Lollies, Ben and Jerry, and the delivery surcharge was more expensive than the items I bought. And I was like, screw it. I'm in lockdown, baby. Give it to me.
Producer Trial Trin, how much do you spend each week?
I'd say approximately 40. Yeah. Like, I'd be close to that.
Well, payday for you tomorrow, so you'll be...
Yeah. She just actually told us she's having dinner tomorrow night, which is
No,
lovely.
I didn't,
which is
good. I didn't say
you
that.
You said, we said dinner tomorrow night, and you said, that's great, because it's my payday.
Absolutely. Yeah, my payday. But I also love to do... So I've got all the delivery apps, and Guzman is on, I think, all of them. So I go in and check, before I do a Guzman order, I check the price of every single one. Like, I put it in my cart, the thing I want, and check it, because sometimes it's more, like, the service fee or delivery fee is a bit more higher on Uber Eats for some reason.
You shop around.
I shop around.
Good on you. I just don't have the time.
It's hard, though, because, I mean, Guzman, by the way, if you're listening to someone in Australia that doesn't have it, it's a Mexican place.
Yeah.
But there's
if you don't have Guzman, you've probably got a Zambrero.
This place is listening to this going, I don't have any of these. Like, mum is still filthy. Mum's in Gundawindi. She can't get an Uber. The cabs are gone in Gundy.
Yeah, they're done.
Literally,
aren't they?
There was like a guy that had two cabs. Mum calls me there. She goes, "You wouldn't believe it." I go, "What's up?" And she goes, "We haven't got cabs anymore."
they get the Boost cart every month, which is nice. Yeah, get a
Boost,
Janine special.
Boost drive out. Boost drive out in a caravan, and they set up shop for like Thursday or Monday.
Oh, cute.
And it's just the busiest thing.
$46 for a Mango Magic.
Now, Producer Grace, it's up to you how much you want to
divulge.
Divulge, yes. Yep.
I'll put it this way. If you don't say it, I'll say it.
No, my partner and I have been doing a bit of budgeting at the moment, which meant we had to kind of go through all of our expenses over the last year. And my partner and I, we love takeaway.
Like, yeah, you love the getting
love
in your comfies.
In. Yeah. I love getting in pajamas, putting a movie on, eating like a patsy or something.
One of my favorite things is that, like, when Grace leaves work sometimes, she orders Uber Eats. So when she gets home, it's there.
Oh, she loves it.
So good.
She loves that.
It's smart. I love it.
Smart.
We spent almost $7,000 in the last year on Uber Eats alone. And that's just my partner, not what I spent.
Sorry, I'm going to just crunch some numbers
here. $7,000.
So $7,000 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go, what, 7,000 divided by 52?
52.
You spend $134.61 a week.
That's about right.
Yep. So look, we're pulling in the purse strings quite a bit.
You need to shop around like I do.
Oh, I don't have time for that.
She's ordering what she wants to work. She needs to cook at home is what she needs to do.
Well, no, just swing by the place.
No, yeah. I have to get out of the car.
Yeah,
you have to talk to people. Yeah, no. I want it to be there on my doorstep.
Grace is doing the drop and don't talk to me pre-COVID. All right, here we go. 131060. Australia, jump on the phones right now. Can you beat Producer Grace? That's what the kit should be. How much do you spend?
134. I mean, 134, 134.
On food delivery each and every week. 131060. How much do you spend, Australia, on food delivery each and every week?
And look, I'm happy, Australia. If you want to dob in a partner, a friend, someone else who spends a lot of money, I'm happy for that.
The Jimmy and Nate Show Podcast. You want fries with that?
Is butter a carb?
Oh, yes, butter is a carb. I love this so much. I'm leaving it. I love this. Listen to that. Thank you, CC Bones. He's done it again. All right, the question we're asking, 131060, how much are you spending on food delivery each week? Bonus side competition as well. We've had our producer, Grace, spend $7,000 in the last year.
Anyone can beat that. $136 a week.
Yeah, so if anyone can beat that, whatever. It's not the main point of it, but if you can, well done to you.
It's a side thing we're doing.
Nat from Newcastle. Hello, Nat.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Nat. How much are you spending on food delivery every week?
Oh, not much. I'm pretty stingy. But I don't get that much delivered to my house. But I am a delivery driver for Uber Eats and Menulog and DoorDash.
Amazing. Oh, okay. Amazing. I'd love to chat to you.
And there's a lot of regulars.
So how many, who's your biggest, I mean, can you say like who your biggest regular is?
I'm sure you can say them.
There's a lot of regulars. I feel, you know, sometimes every day.
Okay. Sorry. Every day you're seeing some people.
Yeah.
Okay, Nat, if you had to hazard a guess, based on your professional opinion, if you're seeing somebody every day, I mean, you know what you're delivering, but roughly what would, say, one person be spending a week then, one of those regulars?
Maybe like 300 a week.
Oh, we've got a new clubhouse leader, guys.
That is.
And it's the random that Nat delivers to. So.
What they order. Some people just order mashed potato or 2 calamari rings.
No,
but then it's
don't.
Like a $7 delivery.
I got paid $12 to deliver those two calamari rings.
Mate, we're in the wrong bloody industry, I tell you. Yeah. I need to be delivering calamari rings. Thank you, Nat. Rahul from, is it Cranbourne? Cranbourne? Hi, Rahul.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good, mate. Did I say that right? Cranbourne?
Yes, Cranbourne.
Oh, okay, Cranbourne. Yeah, sorry, Cranbourne. It says Canburn. I was like, well, you drink too quickly, maybe. Rahul, backing me up. Thank you, brother. How much you spending each week on food delivery?
So I've got a trick. I actually spend only $15 out of my pocket, but the food stuff which I get is for $30.
So you've got some sort of hack, Rahul.
Yeah, not really a hack, but it's just the customer retainership thingy. So what I do is I've got different apps as well.
Okay.
I just order from one app a week. So let's say if I order from Deliveroo this week and then I won't use it for like 7 days or 8 days, they'll just send you a coupon or something like, all right, we haven't seen you in a while.
You play them against each other.
Exactly.
Clever. Yeah, because I've only really used Uber Eats, and when I don't use it for a while, you get a little like, ding, hey, yeah, here's a voucher.
Exactly. So it's out there. You just need to find it, Matt.
Wow. It's like the deliveries are like slot into your DMs going, oi, you up? You hungry?
3 a.m. You thinking about me? Eggplant? Get some fried eggplant sent to you.
Go buy a Coles, pick it up for me. All right, Julian from Melbourne, wrap things up. Julian, how much are you spending on food delivery every week?
All right, guys. Well, this is full disclosure, right?
Okay. So,
and I'm not even ashamed of it at all.
No, you shouldn't be, mate.
No, be proud.
I'm just time poor. The missus is time poor. She's, just about to pop. She's pregnant. So there's a lot going on. We've got no time. But we just applied for a house, so we know exactly how much we spent on Uber in the last 11 months, I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And our financial advisor has said, you need to cut down on this for the next month because in 11 months, we've nearly spent $14,000 on Uber Eats and Menulog.
You've nearly doubled producer Grace and her partner.
$14,000!
I don't know what it is, but it's a fair bit. But I don't care anyway. I had a couple of pay bumps during work during the year, and just the more money I made, the more I spent.
Good on you, mate. That's what it's for.
It's your money. That's you know what I mean? And you got to eat. It's not like you're spending it on unnecessary things.
Well, it's you got to live, right? You got to eat.
And you're so right.
Julian, what's your favourite thing to order and get delivered?
Definitely, there is a really mad Italian joint that do the best pizzas and best pasta. So we hit that quite a lot. But we also do the grill, like the lamb and chicken off the Euros. There's a really good grill in like the heart of the Greek sort of central here in Melbourne. So
nice. Well, do you want to give a business a shout out, Julian? So maybe they might give you a little discount next time you order.
Like, you're costing me $14,000.
Oh mate, there's a few, but Cully Mara in Oakley is like very, very, very good. I'd say it'd have to be the best Greek in Australia. Right?
I would buy shares in them if I were you, Julian, because
I should.
You are single-handedly propping up that business.
So you missed Jimmy and Nate last night? That's okay,
because you could hear it all here.
You got Jimmy and Nate, and Jim, a huge, massive congratulations to the 4,000 music fans who attended the Birdsville Big Red Bash in Outback Queensland. It's in the Simpson Desert, because last week they have set the new world record for the largest Nutbush City Limits dance of all time, guys. What an achievement. 4,000 people in unison in the Aussie desert doing the bush, doing the MB.
Only 4,000.
4,000, you think quite low.
Oh, yeah. Just,
well, the previous record was 2,878, also set at the Big Red Bash Festival. So this is their thing. So
you think 4,000's not enough?
No, you reckon we could
beat it?
I just think it's something that every Australian knows. And
yeah, but getting 4,000 of those people in the same place at the same time to do the Nutbush is quite a feat.
I think Nathan and I may have already broken this record without even knowing it was a record because we do a lot of sport emceeing. We were emceeing a big bash cricket game and it was raining.
A semi-final.
It was raining. So they got us to do the Nutbush and get the whole crowd involved.
With the stadium.
And I reckon there would have been 4,000 or 5,000 people there.
We definitely would have broken the record for the longest ever Nutbush because the rain delay went for about 3 hours and Jimmy and I did non-stop Nutbushing. For 3 hours.
Oh, there was a pause.
Oh, there was a little lull.
And then they go, all right, let's do it again.
Go again. Everyone's loving it.
I could imagine it would get a bit old.
Oh, it did.
Oh, it did.
Did, yeah.
Hour two, I reckon. Hour two of left. Left.
No, right. You start right, man.
Start right, dude.
By the end of this song, I'm done with it. I'm like, cool, we've had our fun. I'm going to go
knee, knee, kick, kick. You know, you get over it. You start getting over it. But, Jim, you mentioned it just before. You said pretty much all of Australia would know what the Nutbush is. Now, this is interesting because we were talking about it in the office before. And producer Trial Trin, welcome to the show.
Hello.
You had, yeah, round of applause, you had never heard of the Nutbush in your life.
No.
No idea what it was.
No, and let me just tell you, a dance did not come to mind when I read the word Nutbush.
I can imagine.
So we sent out a show plan. It's just like Nathan and I, we all put stuff on it, and producer Trin saw Nutbush on the show. What did you think?
I don't, because I was like, surely you, I was like.
She probably thought, how has Grace let this through?
I honestly did think it was something to do with the ball region.
Yeah.
And the hair down there.
You shave everything other than.
Yeah, except the nut. Scrotum hair.
Can I ask Trin? So I do know that.
Sorry, you go.
I do know that the Nutbush dance is an Australian thing, and you're obviously from New Zealand, so you're not across it. But do you know the Tina Turner song?
No. Obviously from New Zealand.
Sorry, the detective's back again as well. Thanks for letting her know. Did you just mansplain where Trin's from?
I was resetting where Trin's from because some people might be listening to the show for the first time.
Yeah, I think I know that. I think I'm from New Zealand. I think I'm from New Zealand.
Trin, say anything and people will probably pick it up.
Grace, do that bit again where you're like, when I'm hungry and angry. I'm hangry.
Sorry, Grace. You've got the bit. So you have the conch.
Do you know the song?
I feel like when you played it, I was like, I feel like I've heard that song before. Yes. But I wasn't like, oh my God, this is, reminds me of this stupid dance that I learnt when I was a kid.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. Sorry, Jimmy's just fist bumping because Queensland just scored.
Go all the way. Ben Hunt in the corner. Yes.
Sorry, rugby league. Anyway,
back to regular programming, everybody. Okay, no, see, this is the thing. I learnt this at school. Mm. Producer Grace, is this where you learnt the Nutbush?
Disto.
Move on.
The old disto. Jim, same as you. Did you learn it at school, like a school dance or something? Or when did you pick up the Nutbush?
I remember vividly, would have been around, I think I was in grade 6. Okay. And they took my entire school to this undercover. I went to a very small school, so that's not many people.
Yeah.
It's like 30. And we just all learned it together.
In an undercover area.
And I just from being so confused, I'm like, why is the whole school learning this dance? And then the teachers be like, you don't get it now, but you're going to go to school dances, you're going to go to weddings.
This will change your life.
And everyone will know this. And I was like, all right, so you learn it. And then, you pretty much.
Whereas I've gone 27 years without it in my life, and I feel like I've not missed out on anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. In my whole school, we had to go undercover as well, pull our pants down for Eagle Rock.
I don't get that.
I don't get that either, Trin.
We'll do that one for tomorrow. All right, 131060, jump on the phones right now. Are you like producer Trial Trin? Have you never heard of the Nutbush? You have never heard of the Nutbush dance in your life? If that is you, 131060, jump on the phones right now.
The Jimmy and Nate Show podcast.
And Jim, we're just talking the Nutbush. Of course, this is after, hang on, there it is. This is after the world record for the most amount of people to do the Nutbush consecutively was broken at the Birdsville Big Red Bash out at Queensland. 4,000 people, just over 4,000 people. You reckon we've even broken that?
Yeah, before. I mean, I don't know what the exact rules are. Like, if everyone needs to be standing in center and it needs to be in time and in sync. So, I mean, maybe that's probably a bit harder to get 4,000 people doing it at the same time.
You're so right, yeah.
But if it's just people doing it, I mean, we've emceed sporting events where we've encouraged the whole crowd to do it, so.
It's right up there with Sweet Carolina at any sporting event, really, isn't it, doing the Nutbush?
It only happens at the ones we're doing because I think Nathan and I made an idea to do it because it was raining. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love to next time we do it at an event try and.
Just try
the record.
Let's make it our thing. Now, we were just talking to producer Trial Trin because she said she had never heard of the Nutbush dance as well. And we asked 131060, have you never heard of the Nutbush? Understandably, nobody's called for that because everybody knows. Everybody knows. Mel from Sandringham's given us a buzz, though. Hello, Mel. We got you?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Mel, you've got a Nutbush-related story for us, do you?
I do. I went to Sandy Primary and I'm in my mid-50s now, and we used to go in at recess and lunchtime every day of our whole schooling to the Nutbush. And we'd come in and everyone would line up and everyone in the school would do the Nutbush.
So this is what, after every
break? Over 40 years ago, after every break.
Why did your school do that, Mel?
I don't know. Maybe it was a cult. I don't know. I actually am thinking as I'm saying it out loud now, going, I'm actually not sure why we did it, but it was very cool and we all know how to do the nut bush.
Okay. It's a perfect way to learn. Okay, so was this for how long were you at this school for, Mel? 6 years?
From grade 2 to grade 6.
Okay, so what's that, four years.
4 or 5 years.
4 years of what? How many breaks do you get before school? Maybe like 3 breaks? So 4 years, every schooling day, you were doing the nut bush 3 times a day.
We were.
That's a lot of nut bushing.
It was a lot of nut bushing.
It's a lot of MB.
I'd love to find out if the school still... Do you know if the school still does it, Mel?
What's the school?
Well, my dad was the principal there for a long time. It's Sandringham Primary School, so you can still maybe give them a ring and find out.
Did you ever ask your dad why they did the nut bush thing?
No, but you know what? He's 89 and he's currently the oldest living Brownlow medalist, so maybe I should.
Oh, my God. This story just keeps getting better and better. What's his name, Mel?
His name's Neil Roberts.
Neil Roberts, one of the greats. Okay.
Well, I mean, can we maybe, I don't know, like, Producer Grace will chat to you behind the scenes and, we can get you on maybe tomorrow night or something and find out a bit more.
I'd love to get to the bottom whether or not they're still doing this. I'd love to know if you're old, man.
I didn't even think about asking, but I just heard it and I had to call in.
I love it. This is a great story.
This is good, Mel, because what you've done is you've given us content for the rest of the week. We're lazy people and you're doing the work for us, Mel.
Perfect. Oh, well, I work in emergency, so I can guarantee I'm not lazy.
Well, no, I'm saying we are.
Mel's like, nah, stuff you're not doing it anymore.
No, it's been a long day, but thank you for always being there on my drive home.
Thank you, Mel. And you know what? This one's for you, okay, to take you back to your primary school days.
Thank you.
Oh, no, lunch is over.
The Jimmy and Nate Show Podcast.
Wednesday night, guys.
I suppose fading out. There's a lot of fade out songs today.
Yeah, and you're loving waiting for it to finish.
Look, if you didn't know, we did Hobart Breakfast before we did this.
Yeah.
And we used to do something called Honest Feedback, where we just wanted people to call. And one of the most hated things was, you guys just talk all over the songs.
Yeah, people don't like that.
No. So, and I think Nate does a great job at talking over them, so I try to limit myself doing that. So I think we get about 50%, you know what I mean?
Just sounds very Triple J.
You also just scared me because I was like, am I supposed to say something?
No, it's just waiting for the song. My apologies if I scared you.
You scared me.
Australia, you have questions and hopefully we have answers.
Jimmy and Nate's Ask Them Anything.
Jumping straight into it tonight. First question comes from at Curtis Richard 200. Would you swap Origin teams for $1,000?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Not at all.
What would you? Okay. $10,000.
No.
Oh, we're getting warmer.
You said us did just lose.
Yeah.
So.
We're getting warmer.
No, I wouldn't trade it. See, that's why Queensland wins, mate. It's something in us, you know what I mean?
$50,000, Jimmy.
No.
$100,000.
Yes, $100,000, then you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
All right, I'll change and then change again. I'll change 3 times if I'm getting that.
No, I'm Queensland through and through. Not enough money.
Not $1 million, you wouldn't.
Don't believe it.
I do not believe that for a second.
At all.
I don't need the money. I get paid very well for this job and I love it. What am I going to do with that money?
Buy a house, go on a holiday.
Don't need it. Queenslander.
Boston, New South Wales merch.
Question number 2 comes from Cara _1997. Would you rather time travel to the past or the future?
That's a good question. If I go to the future, can I come back again?
Oh, yeah. Are you just going somewhere and then you're stuck there?
Yeah.
I think for this hypothetical, you can go and come back.
Okay.
Future then.
My second question was, if I go to the past and I mess with stuff, does that, when I come back, does that stuff up where I'm at now?
You've got to be so careful with time travel, don't you?
That could happen with the future too, which is probably why I just not time travel.
Is that an option? Isn't it just one or the other?
Yeah, I guess.
You can't
Grace,
just bow
anyway,
out.
If I was involved, I would just say...
No, thank you.
Guys, is this Ask You About Anything or Would You Rather Wednesdays?
What Would You Rather Wednesdays? No, I'd go to the future because I want to see how things pan out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens in the past. Yeah. Actually, no. I would go back and suss out that Jesus bloke and see what was really going on there.
Well, you'd go that far back, would you?
Well, because, I mean, time's based off that. We say we're in 2022. Mm. Isn't that based upon...
Yeah, like 2022.
The Bible?
Yeah, it is.
Like
yeah.
that, that's in front of us every... I want to know. I want to know what's going on there. So.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay. And then you come back and be like, hey, I time traveled and the made-up guys, not real. And then they're like, all right, bro, you time traveled.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so if I was to choose, I'd say both.
No, that's not an option.
I'd just bow out and I wouldn't mess with time travel.
Question number three. This one's for advice. Oh. This is from Crawford Louie _. I want to take someone on a first date this weekend. What would you recommend doing?
That's a good one.
My ultimate first date, I always did the same one. I take someone to a movie, but dinner first. So what happens is,
it's a goodie.
At dinner, you can figure out if you really like this person or not. If it isn't going well, that's fine because you can be like, we got to get to this movie. And then you sit in silence in the movie and you get to watch a movie you like.
100%.
If you really like the person, you get to the movie and then you get to watch a great movie. Then afterwards, you'd be like, hey, I'd love to see you again. Yeah. So you get something. I think he's getting something. Because you know you're on a bad date. You're like, oh, that was just awful. Mm. This way, if it is a bad date, you're still getting to watch a movie.
And always pick a good movie. Mm. At least on the first date.
Something
if you're into them and you want to go on a movie date, you know, pick a crap movie. You know what I mean? Because then...
Oh, you're so right.
Because then you don't have to pay that much attention. You know what I mean? So pick like, yeah.
But what if it's a good movie and you've picked that in advance and then you're with someone that you really like and you're like, shh, I want to watch a movie.
Well, you're getting a second date then, are you?
I don't want to be dating someone that's trying to have a conversation during a movie. So, what are you into? You've asked me at dinner.
We had this opportunity at dinner.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me now?
I forgot at dinner, but cat or a dog person?
Would you rather?
So, you missed Jimmy and Nate last night? That's okay.
Because you could hear it all here.
Jim, the Australian Koala Foundation, get this, they are pushing for a federal Koala Protection Act. That would place bans on land clearing and development across all koala habitat areas. Have a listen to this. If it gets passed under the plan, 1.5 million square kilometres of forest or 20% of the Australian continent would be protected. Therefore, no destroying of koalas' homes, which I think is fantastic because I love koalas.
Yeah. What animals do you hate?
I don't hate any animals, really.
Really? Spiders?
I don't hate them. They all play a role, don't they, in the ecosystem?
So right. Circle of Life, Elton John.
Circle of Life, yeah. What a great track that is.
Lion King soundtrack. Jeez, that slaps.
Oh, Tarzan soundtrack?
You didn't have to go that hard, Phil.
Great.
Phil went real hard, didn't he?
It's just a kid's animated movie. Phil's like, no, man, I'm going in.
I'm making this memorable, guys. We're going to the top of the charts. All right, the foundation is it's sent to a draft bill to the new Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, and hopes to get passed. So there's a few hurdles that still need to be jumped, but essentially, if this gets over the line, get this, koalas would be given the highest level of protection of any animal species in Australian history.
Wow.
So if this gets passed, then koalas, numero uno in terms of protection.
I think that's really good because after those awful bushfires we had at the start of 2020, I believe koalas were like borderline virtually extinct.
Absolutely they were.
Did it come out that they were like they were...
Yeah, there's like not enough breeding pairs for the species to continue long term, I believe. Yeah.
So they were like on this list of like worldwide animals that may be the end for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really sad.
We don't want another repeat of the Tasmanian tiger.
I know.
I mean, Nathan, I believe that's still out there.
100% still out there.
But it hasn't been seen since like 1930. No,
the last one, Benjamin, who lived in the Hobart Zoo. What year did he die? Maybe 38.
38. Let's go.
What did I say?
You said 1938.
Well, 32 also sticking in my mind for him.
What did I say? 38?
38. But then you also went 45.
36.
Well, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. So you're right. We don't want another Tassie Tiger situation.
On September 7th, 1936, 2 months after the species was granted the highest level of protection status.
The Jimmy and Nate Show Podcast.
Time to wrap it up.
You did sound a little confused when we were on and what we're doing. And earlier tonight, producer, you know, this Nathan and I, we went to the gym to work out. Mm. And they thought this was the last show for the week.
It feels like a Thursday.
I didn't know what day it was.
Absolute Thursday vibes today.
Mm.
Yeah. Thursday vibes.
Yeah, and Nate's like, oh, it's done for the week. And
I was very confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought tomorrow was Friday, which of course is our day off, guys.
Yes. But tomorrow's Thursday.
We will be back tomorrow night.
We are back tomorrow, guys.
And I'll tell you who else is back. Queensland. Singing yippee-yippee-yi. Singing yah-yah, yippee-yippee-yi. Singing, come on, Grace. Singing yah-yah, yippee-yippee-yi-yi. Yippee, singing yah-yah, yippee-yippee-yi.
I wish tomorrow was Friday.
Didn't have, like, a better theme song?
Well, can you give me a Queensland?
No, I can't.
No, give me. Don't be. Bring
Queensland,
solutions.
The greatest team of them all. We've won so many Origins. New South Wales, take the fall.
Oh, that's such a great guard. Yeah, have a little applausing for that. Good on you, mate. I know you're not into your sport.
Not into sports or singing on the radio, but I did both.
And we definitely forced you into watching today because we've got about 30 TVs and I reckon at some point every TV had the game on it.
Yeah. I was actually in sports mode today.
You were.
I was.
Crocs were selected. The definitely, heel bit up.
Definitely not in relax mode.
You don't know. Yeah. Grace wears all black and black Crocs. It's,
no,
it's a vibe.
I don't know black Crocs.
Oh, she's got to get on your motorbike afterwards, don't you?
Mm. Hey, look, 10 out of 10 for me, Queensland 1. Great show. Many laughs. I bloody loved it, guys. Bloody loved it.
Yeah, it's
10 out of 10 as well.
It's a 7 out of 10 for me. Nothing to do with the show. I'm just bringing the personal into the,
oh, seven.
Into the show. 7 out of 10.
You've identified Nathan Cleary as the weak link. I see what you've done there.
He wears number 7, Grace.
Oh, thanks.
Singing, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Howdy, Australia.
That's it. But don't worry. You can follow Jimmy and Nate on the socials. At Jimmy and Nate, grab them on Listener. That's where you get the podcast. Or if you see them, just give them a little kiss.